Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 9:15 and again at 11 a.m. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. In today's sermon titled, As the World Gives, Reverend David Williams tells us that we typically worry about worldly issues such as finances, studies, and our work. But God wants us to ground ourselves in Him instead. If we can do this, then we would find that our hearts would be much more at ease.
Please be seated. As we come into God's presence in worship this morning, we come as a people who might like to be firm and certain and sure of everything. We like certainty and the known. But the truth of it as we move through our lives is that we struggle with what is uncertain. We struggle with our encounter with change. We fear loss and difference. And from that place of fear, we struggle to find joy in life. And we struggle to follow the teachings of Christ. As we come into the presence of our God who gives us comfort and strength and purpose and meaning, it helps for us to admit that. Admit the ways that we have wrestled and found ourselves unable to get past our anxieties and our concerns in this life. So let's admit that. Let's admit those things. First together in the prayer of confession, and then in the silence of our own hearts, speaking our fears to the one who gives us comfort. Please join with me now in the prayer of confession. Gracious and loving God, our lives are filled with anxiety and uncertainty. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. The world seems to shake around us as things we'd hoped were certain change before us. We worry about finances, about our studies and our work, about our place in the world, about our relationships with those around us. Lord God, remind us to ground ourselves in you. Remind us, for our hearts are not at ease. Hear us now as we speak our struggles to you in the silence of our hearts. And now hear the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from John's Gospel. I'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Let's listen again for God's holy word. Jesus answered, "Those who love me will keep my word. And my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. They tell you a lot of things in seminary when they're prepping you to be a pastor, and one of those things is that wherever you go and however you are, you need to be a non-anxious presence. You need not to bear your anxieties with you and your stresses with you as you go around, because that just doesn't help things. And one of the funniest things in encountering my pastoral colleagues is that they are just about the most stressed out bunch of folks that you could possibly imagine. They're worried about the meetings and the committee gatherings and the presbytery arguments and their sermons. If you have pastor friends on Facebook, their sermons are never quite done in the way they would like at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. There's just this, that seems to come from most pastors I know. Don't know why that is exactly. I try to avoid it myself, but perhaps it's because we live in a culture that breathes out stress and tension into all of us. Anxiety and fear is central to our society. It seems to be woven into the very fabric of our life together. Being at ease, being comfortable with ourselves, just doesn't seem to be adequate. We need to be continually comparing ourselves to others, worrying that our house isn't large enough, or that we aren't thin enough, or that our smartphone didn't do well enough on the SATs. We need to stay hungry, to be tense, to be uncertain, because that keeps us motivated, right? Fear is a strong motivator. There was a survey released this week by the National Journal. Anyone subscribe to the National Journal? Well, you probably can't, because it's one of those. It's a DC publication. A subscription to the journal costs $1,200 a year. Well, another thing to be stressed about. You know, I don't make enough to afford that. It was a poll about American attitudes. And Americans have legendarily been an optimistic people, driven and certain that manifest destiny was going to cause us to strive and succeed in this never-ending march of progress. We're a can-do and stick-to-it nation, confident strivers and achievers. But the last few years haven't been gentle to a lot of us. And that's what this Heartland poll, it was called, that's what it described. Mixed in with that hopefulness and positivity was an equal portion of gnawing doubt about the future. What they found was a lot of worry. The great swath of us that would consider ourselves the middle class isn't exactly brimming over with positive vibes about the future. They found that a significant majority of folks feel that there's less opportunity to get ahead than there was a generation ago, and that was going to be true for their kids. They felt that there was less job and financial security than there was a generation ago, and that you just have to push a little bit harder to make ends meet. They found that for most Americans, things like paying for college or having enough savings to weather a financial storm or a health crisis, that was something that people viewed as the purview of the rich, not all of us. The American dream may have changed a little bit. It seems increasingly to be an anxiety dream, a dream in which we walk through a door and find ourselves standing in front of Congress, where we suddenly are told we have to deliver the State of the Union address, only we haven't prepared it and we're just wearing our tighty-whities. A stress dream. But it seems odd that we would be so stressed. Us? Stressed? Really? Anyone read that story about the archaeological find from the Jamestown colony this last week? Anyone read that one? It is pretty rare that archaeological or historical news makes the headlines or gets slapped onto the front page, but they found the remains of a 400-year-old teenager, 14-year-old, and it seemed to confirm for the first time that American colonists at that first stage of struggle had, as rumor had indicated, actually resorted to eating one another in times of crisis. There, stress seems logical. I mean, if you're living in the Jamestown colony during what history calls the starving time, the years between 1609 and 1610, when the completely unprepared colonists realized that it's hard to grow your own food, and they went from being a community of 500 to being a community of 60, there, stress would be understandable. Things are not anywhere near that bad, hopefully. Well, if you find anyone unusually interested in making sure that you eat a few more donuts during fellowship hour, you know, be a little careful around that person. But that we are stressed in context is a little strange, because by all rights, we shouldn't be. Here we have been blessed by a land that gives us and provides us enough food, not just to feed ourselves, but much of the rest of the world, and then ourselves again. There are more than enough homes out there for everyone. We have an abundance, a great overflowing cornucopia of possessions unmatched in human history. And yet we're still afraid of what tomorrow might bring. We find ourselves so busy scrambling and holding on to what we have that we don't really enjoy it in that moment when we have it. We're so worried about tomorrow that we can't enjoy the day itself, this precious day we have been given. As we move into the 14th chapter of John's Gospel this morning, it is that fear that Jesus is challenging in his disciples. Things are coming to a close for John's story of the life and teachings of Jesus here. And as the story is being told, we're getting strong hints of what is to come, and things are not trending well. Jesus has washed the feet of his disciples in the previous chapter, and then he has warned them, "I am going to be betrayed, and it is going to be by one of you." It's just about this moment that Judas Iscariot remembered he forgot something at home and had to take off. And then, beginning in chapter 13, verse 31, Jesus starts talking. This is the teaching we find ourselves in, one of the longest sustained teachings of Jesus of Nazareth that you'll find in any of the Gospels. It exceeds the Sermon on the Mount in length. This is what we call John's farewell discourse, where Jesus tells his disciples everything they will need to know in his absence. This runs all the way through chapter 17. And it is, if you got one of those old red letter Bibles where the words of Jesus are in red, this is just a mass of red, page after page after page. We are being presented with this extended expression of what Jesus views as most important to pass along to those who'd gathered around him as he prepared to leave them. And he's offering them, first and foremost, words of comfort. Why is that? Because he knows he will soon no longer be present with them. Now, he does so, if we read this text, in the obscure and circuitous way John's gospel has of expressing most things. We hear phrases like, on that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them. And we find ourselves weaving our way through those concepts. Okay, wait, now I'm in, and I'm loved, and you, and okay. But in that whirl of concepts, that idea gets across to the disciples. He's leaving. And so to calm them, Jesus speaks words of truth and comfort to them and makes them a promise. What he promises them is what he calls the advocate. In John's Greek, the parakletos. This is the one who defends you, the one who stands up for you, the one who is in your corner. It's a promise that the message he has offered them can never be separate from them. It is right present. It is never distant. It is the Holy Spirit that is being offered up. And John's gospel, along with Luke's gospel, make the Spirit a great focus. We are being reminded in this passage by Jesus, that in the face of all that is troubling and challenging and nail-biting that is handed to us by this world, what Jesus is offering us is different. That faith lit up by the Holy Spirit is a different thing. It is not a thing that grasps. It is not feeling driven by an anxiety over a relationship with God. It is not being driven by anxiety about what you might have or not have. Being driven by concerns about not meeting standards or by our terror at loss. It's a different thing altogether. Grounded by the Spirit, faith guides us to approach everything differently. Very differently than the world guides us. Because the world does give here and there. It gives us sometimes an abundance, and sometimes we find ourselves struggling to get by. Sometimes we have exactly the thing that we want, and then the world tells us that that thing is not enough. We need more. We want what the other guy has, the newest, the shiniest, the latest, and the best. It is not enough. It can never be enough. It's not meant ever to be enough. That's how the world teaches us to view things. It can also be how we view people. And that makes our anxiety all the deeper. We can grasp our relationships. We can hold them tightly and desperately. And they become things that are about control. We approach our relationships with a hunger. Not a Jamestown hunger, hopefully. But a hunger nonetheless. That fear we have of it not working, of our being unloved, of our being irrelevant, of our being abandoned, can cause us to seek to control or manipulate. And that does not bring us happiness, only deepens our anxiety. What Jesus offers us through the Spirit is different. It is, as another term for the paraclete is, it is a comforter. It is a comfort. Guided by God's grace, we are asked through the Spirit, view our possessions no longer as something that drives us. We're asked to remember, as Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount, that worry can devour us. It can consume us. It can take a potentially joyful moment, and instead of having us focus on that moment, turn that moment sour in fear. Worry turns us in on ourselves and prevents us from experiencing joy and from sharing it. But that's not what the Spirit does for us. If we seek to be guided by the Spirit, we find joy not in grasping or controlling, but in giving and sharing. How does that work? Oh, it's good to say it, but the actual doing of it is sometimes beyond us. Our fear can be so strong. For the disciples, that fear would have been strong. Here they were being told that they were just about to lose their teacher. They were faced with the imminent absence of this human being they had oriented their whole lives towards, and their anxiety would have run deep. What will we do now that you are not here? What Jesus was reminding them gently was that the gift of the Spirit is not like other gifts. It's not a thing. It's the presence of God's own self, that creative and loving power that sustains and creates all things. He was telling them, this is with you. If you welcome it in, if you embrace it, this Spirit rests in you. And if it is present in us, then our fears have no ground. If it is present in us, then we can't lose things. We have what is valuable. We feel our connection to one another as deeply as God does. With that knowledge that they were not going to lose him, and that God's Spirit was still present, fear was no longer something that should rest in their hearts. That's the knowledge that God offers each of us. That in God's grace and with the presence of God's Spirit, those anxieties we have about things and about people need to be set aside, so that we can carry on with the grace and goodness that is God's calling for all of us. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen. Life serves up hard things. This community's done a lot of that this last week. And that sense of fear we have is so often driven by that fear of loss, and particularly fear of loss of those things we love most dearly. That was the fear, the deep fear that those disciples felt as this person they love was telling them, I'm going. But what Jesus had to say to them was, yes, I'm going, but I'm coming back. Yes, I'm going, but through the Spirit that God has given all of you, that connection you have with me is unbroken. I'm going to be part of God, and God will send this Spirit that gives comfort and the knowledge that you are, in ways that are sometimes hard to grasp, never separate from me. That's why the Spirit is not just known as the advocate, as the defender in the court, but is also known as the comforter. Because in that knowledge, the knowledge that in God's creative power and God's deep love, we don't lose those who love us and who we love right back. It's a tough thing for us. And it's the source of our deepest anxiety and fear. But Jesus says, be filled with the knowledge that in my Spirit, you're woven up with God and with me and with everything precious. Hold that comfort in your hearts as you go out. And as you can, share that comfort with others. It is one of the great blessings of what Christ has brought us. Let's go out and live a life that shows we know and feel the truth of it.
Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us for today, for tomorrow, and our whole lives long.
Amen.